Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Fly ball to left field. Michael McHenry, the fort! Oh, baby! Your Buccos lead it! Unbelievable! Wow! His first in the big leagues! They're going to bring the house down!
Yes, it's that time of week, one of our favorite times of the week. Michael McHenry joins us. There he is. If you're watching on the YouTube channel, the fans YouTube channel, which I certainly hope you are. Michael, welcome aboard. I was just looking at Nick Gonzalez six games ago, he was batting 226 with like a 651 OPS. Now he's up to 320. It's over 800 now. His slugging is way up. His on base. This guy is on fire. What do you like with what you're seeing here? You don't see many 5-for-5 evenings, do you?
No, he yawned at his 4-for-4 game and decided to go 5-for-5. What I love about Nicky G is the fact that he knows who he is. I mean, you kind of look at how he got to the big leagues. He was a nobody as a freshman. Went to New Mexico. If you don't know anything about college baseball, New Mexico is one of those schools that kind of gets knocked for playing on the moon because the ball absolutely flies there. So if you're a hitter, you don't want to go there because you're not going to be seen because they're going to say, oh, it's because before you played. Well, Texas hits 4 home runs, makes himself a national name, becomes an All-American, becomes first rounder, and he's not a big dude. So all odds stacked against him, he's at where he's at, and he's done it the way Nicky G's done it, and that's to hit. He's a swing-first guy, and I think he lost a little bit of that over the last couple of years. We saw it come to maybe fruition last year at the very end, and then he gets hurt. But like every time this guy gets knocked, he comes back better. He comes back stronger. He uses it almost like if you get cut and you scar up, you get that scar tissue and you're stronger for it. I think that's exactly how his entire career been, and that's how he is now. And I love that about him. He's a guy that represents the Pirates really well. He's going to be a part of this for a long time.
Spencer Horwitz is another guy, Michael. I think this month hitting 288 with like a 360 on base percentage, really looking like the guy the Pirates told us they were getting. He's not going to hit 40 home runs, but he's going to give you a good at bat. He's going to have a high on base percentage. He's going to be good around the bag. If this is the guy they're getting, I like it. What have you seen with him?
I think he's getting comfortable. I think something that we have not talked about is you get traded, right? You get traded for Ortiz, who's a 3-WAR player. You look at that and you're like, man, they really value me. So what's the first thing that happens as a human being? You put extra pressure on yourself. And then he comes into spring training, has a hurt wrist, and he has to watch the guys that he's trying to get to know, get familiar with, get better. And he's just sitting on the sidelines. That's not easy. And then finally he gets healthy and you want to do it immediately, but you can't. The one thing I love about this guy is he stayed within himself the entire time because it does take time. Doesn't look like he panicked. The defense has not faltered when he's not hitting, and he's gone out and had good at-bats, and those good at-bats are starting to really show up more and more because the contact's gotten better and better, but it doesn't take away that he has had a bunch of great at-bats up to this point that's allowed this to all to come to light. If he didn't have those good at-bats, I don't think he's hitting like he is. He really understands himself. I've gotten to talk hitting with him a couple different times. It's not very often you're like, man, that guy really, really understands who he is as a player. He's not trying to be more than that, and he's trying to be less.
It seems like, and I've heard you guys talk about this on the post-game shows, that there's a different approach maybe under Don Kelly, or was this always supposed to be the approach and it's just kicking in maybe a little bit here and there these days? Of going with the pitch, of not trying to do too much, of having guys sort of hit, you know, within themselves and hit in maybe with a higher IQ or something at the plate. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I feel like there's been an identity created. And, you know, Greg Brown, Moneyball, I think it's just playing the game to last. These guys are going out and leaving it all out there and maybe playing without fear. This game's hard enough. And when you're a young player, not really having your footing, not really understanding where you stand on this team, it's really difficult because you're always trying to prove yourself. I mean, that's, I think, a natural tendency to have. And I think Donnie Kelly, the one thing that he's changed everything is communication. I think he's communicating with these players a lot better. No knock to Derek Shelton, but I do know Donnie a lot better personally. And I know what pride he takes into that because he was that player. And I think when you've been that player, I was that player. A guy like Jeff Banister, who communicated so well with me of like, this is what you need to do. Hey, you need to buck up, bud. You're not playing the way you – that's what you need. Like, I was a guy, I wanted to be told the truth. I wanted to be told exactly where I stand. I was fine with wherever I'm at, but then I can self-identify what's the win today. What's the win for me? What's the win for the team? And I think that's what Donnie's brought. I think he's brought a communication-based culture that really opens up the door for every guy to get better and not be afraid to ask real questions. Who am I to this team? And once you figure out that, you have 26 guys. Hurdle used to say this all the time. One heart. The only way that ever happens is you understand where you beat in that heartbeat. And that's what I think Donnie's really done a great job of. He's really helped these guys understand, like David Bednar is a great example. You're the closer, period. That takes a lot of wind. Saying, whew, man, I feel a lot better now. And now the sails are up and you're just flowing forward because you're not job because of one pitch that you really couldn't control because it broke a bat and it fell in and you blew the save.
Specific to the approach at the plate, Michael, has there been a more concerted effort to hit to the opposite field, to go with the pitch, not try to do too much?
So I'll give Haig a lot of credit here, and it's buy-in. Every team has a ton of information. You get that information. As an individual, as a hitter, you have to digest it and say, this is my way. That's where hitting coach really comes in. He makes you identify and help you identify, I guess, where that win is. And then you have to go out and trust it. And I think that seeing a lot of guys, one, the lineup is more consistent. I think it's more balanced than ever before, especially getting Nicky G and Horowitz back in it. And these guys are saying, okay, like last night, for example, we're facing Chad Patrick. We got to beat a guy with two first names, first off. But also, this guy is going to dominate quarter, third, and into lefties. And those guys hit a lot of balls to the opposite side, knowing that that's where they're going to get pitched. You can sit back and hope that you're going to get a pitch close to you that you can turn and burn on. But that's not necessarily going to work. But what I've seen more than anything is, like, if that is your approach and that's where you're at, I've seen guys up the plate. I've seen them move up in the box. They're starting to identify – this is how I can win today. And that starts with really being a good self-identifier. And it's really good to see. And that's really just buy-in across the board of we're trying to win, not just as a group, as a collective, but as individuals more consistently. If that happens, you're going to win more ballgames.
Limits, the mere thought of leaving you out of this conversation leaves me borderline despondent.
Thank you, Joe. Michael, what do you think of the way Braxton Ashcraft has been able to pitch for the Pirates? And I would have liked to have seen them, after only 35 pitches, give him another inning. What do you think of Ashcraft's potential moving forward?
I love it. I think he's got a little bit of a psychopath in him, which is all type of pitcher. And yesterday, watching him go out, fill up the zone, he threw 35 pitch strikes. His primary pitch was his slider, which is pretty much the best pitch he has. And he didn't go for the kill. But he didn't shy away from it. And what I mean by that is he created a lot of soft contact trying to strike these guys out, knowing that's his best attribute. You don't see a lot of times these young guys understand who they are. It seems like he really does. And I think the fact they brought him up, and I've talked to you guys about this before, put him in the bullpen, and he got to become a major leaguer and have success, really made what happened a reality. Because he needed that bullpen mentality. Because you look at his AAA numbers, it just doesn't correlate. Trying to be a starter, now he's just trying to be a good pitcher to the situation right in front of him. And you have to win the inning before you can win the game.
Last night, we saw a couple great performances, and two things I wanted you to touch on, hopefully, Michael, here. As a catcher, the play, there were a couple plays, really, but the one that Joey Bart made, he had a tough night at the plate, but man, was he good defensively. I think it was a swinging bunt that he just jumped out like a cat and threw the guy out. And the other thing is Mattson and his performance off the mound. Those two things stood out among many. Gonzalez, obviously. But man, they were impressive last night.
Yeah, I'll start with Joey Bart. The hardest thing to do is not take your offense on defense, especially when you're an offensive-minded player. I mean, that had the year he's wanted to have at the plate. I mean, he hasn't been hitting for power. Last night he had three strikeouts looking almost – I believe he ended up striking out four times. That's a tough day. The fact he didn't carry it over speaks volumes who he is as a human being and what he wants, and that's to win. I thought it was incredible, the play he made. It was a bang-bang play. He had two plays that got reviewed in two innings. The next inning was a throw to second base with Bednar on the mound. He made up that time. Bednar's not quick to the plate. I did think Bednar really tried to hold the ball and be a little bit quicker, which is – kudos to him and continue to grow his game. But yeah, Joey Bart technically won that game for us yesterday. If you look at it defensively, two innings, making two incredible plays. And I don't know how to say enough about Mattson.
Yeah.
He did to Christian Yelich. Steve up the stat going into yesterday. I believe Yelich was 11 for 12 against fastballs. 11 for his last 12. After the first at bat, he was 12 for 13. And then he had a cutter out. The bat after that, so maybe you count that one. We'll go 13 for 14. Mattson struck him out, 10-pitch at bat, threw one changeup, nine fastballs, and said, go sit in the truck, meat. And that's, for me, conviction. That's realness. My favorite part of the entire game, guys, there was a clip. Mattson comes off the field, pours water all over himself. It could have been gasoline. Sure, this guy's one of my favorites right now. But he pours water all over himself, steam's coming off of him, and he's just huffing and puffing, like, put me back out there, put me back out there. And I'm like, dude, I love this guy. He's just out there throwing heaters. I wouldn't be surprised if he smokes a heater in between innings. He's got steam of him, and he wants the ball every single chance he can get.
Yeah.
And he has something to prove, right? He's a journeyman. He's not some guy that just came out of nowhere. We've seen him in years past. And it just has not stuck. It seems like he's doubling down on who he is, and I love it.
That felt like, I know Donnie Kelly called it the gutsiest win of the season. It felt like the best win of the season for me last night. How about you?
I completely agree. I mean, you know as good as I do, 2009 through 13, until we finally figured out the Brewers, going in there was a horror show. To win the first was almost like winning the lottery. It just didn't happen, right? Going into Milwaukee when they're playing good baseball, which they have been, they were in a four-game bender where they won four in a row against a very good Twins team. So, yeah, we go in there and we shut the door and win the first game when we have to face Peralta, and then we got Skeens the next day. We just set ourselves up for an opportunity to win this series in a place, in my opinion, is one of the hardest places to win in baseball, especially for the Pirates.
Michael, David Bednar has been significantly better over the last month or so. Now, he also is someone who is going to be on an expiring contract after next season. Where do you feel like Bednar's career is trending based on the past of what happened over the last 2 years, but now he seems like he's starting to find it again?
If I'm the Pirates, I try to sign him before the season's over with to a two-year deal. I get him through arbitration into free agency. I think he'll sign a team-friendly deal. I know he will because he wants to be here. His family's here. He just had a child. He works out here in the offseason. And I think he said that's here. You know, you have Kutch. You have him. You have Reynolds. You have Keller, all that have homes here. I think that's what builds a really special, special thing. And then Don Kelly, if he gets retained into next year as a manager, you're looking at five, six guys that have roots in Pittsburgh. I think David Bednar in the next month could be announced as an all-star. And I think being in his third all-star, possibly pitching in the World Baseball Classic next year again, he's a household name. So if you can get him to be a Pirate for a couple more years or even the rest of his career, I think it's a win-win. I think he's come into form. And my favorite part yesterday, guys, was watching him give up a broken bat single and not even make a nothing. He smiled. After he gave up a single, and I'm like, oh man, this guy's on a whole nother level. He literally wants to eat them. There's no shot today. And that's what you want to see out of a closer. Seen that in the last couple of years. Seeing that again was fun to see yesterday.
13 straight appearances without giving up an earned run. And it sounds like, Michael, that was not just an opinion, but some inside information there on David Bednar when you say you know he would sign a team-friendly contract.
I think if anybody knows David Bednar and the Bednars, they bleed black and gold. I don't know if that's inside information or just easy to see.
I love it. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, guys. God bless.
Talk to you next week. What a wonderful man he is, huh, Limits?
Incredible. That was a tidbit,
I'll say.
Yeah. Huh?
More than a tidbit.
Bednar would want to stay here and that he would sign him to a two-year deal.
He didn't say, I think. He said, I think he'd sign a team. No, I know he would sign a team-friendly deal. What would you do with Bednar? Just maximize it here or trade him?
I think I would look to trade him and see what I can get because I hope he's able to succeed the same level of success that he's had over the last however many months and the way that he did for two All-Star seasons, but I'm not confident enough in it. You know, I need to see it. If he does it through July, I'm at least enticed based on what a team could give me for
13 straight appearances without an earned run. Yeah, but it's been really good. It's the way it all looks.
The demeanor's different. It's better. It's like it was
the repertoire,
previously.
The command, everything. It looks like he used to.
He was filling up just way too much of the zone where his breaking pitches were not good when he was struggling last year and at the first couple weeks of this season, where now he's locating so much better and he's able to use his breaking pitches more as a weapon.
Yeah, everything seems to be working. You know, he used to keep hitters so off balance and just change it up. It felt like night to night. Like tonight, you know, I'm opening everybody with something in the low 80s, you know, and then coming back with 97. Other nights, it's all fastballs. And it's all working. And now it feels like it's all working again. So I'm a little bit torn over the Bednar situation. They need to do something to get an impactful hitter. And I don't think Bednar alone does that. I think Bednar packaged with a young prospect pitcher, like a highly rated prospect, could get you what you want, which is a bopper. Do you like that word, Limits?
Bopper.
In the middle of you, they need a cleanup hitter. They need a three hitter. They need somebody who hits 35 home runs. Unfortunately, that guy still doesn't appear to be O'Neill Cruz, who has to say he's cooled off. He's turned into an icicle. He's in a cryo chamber right now.
Yeah, he's approaching the Mendoza line right now.
His entire body is frozen, like Adam Frozen early in the season before he got hot. Remember that?
He has become Heatmeister right
now.
And
like Tommy Pham before his prescription got fixed,
yes,
right?
Yes, and now he can see, and he can see clearly now. The rain is gone, and
I don't know much about hitting, but I know to see the ball is important, right?
Yes. Remember when Dan Ugla of the Braves said that he legitimately just could not see the ball anymore, and that's why he had to retire?
That was a problem
yes,
for him.
Very problematic.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Fun, love, and peace. That's what Aaron Rodgers is looking for in his final season here, he tells Pat McAfee. Fun, love, and peace.
Fun, love, and peace. Is peace, he going to get that?
Did you ever go to Peace, Love, and Little Donuts, Limits?
You read my mind.
What a place.
I was just about to say that.
The little bacon bits on the donuts.
The
incredible.
Donuts are very small donuts, but they're very rich.
Very small. But if you eat 12 of them, it feels like you've eaten a lot of donuts.
And I've done that, and I don't recommend eating 12 in one sitting.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Social media's biggest loser, brought to you by Awaken 180. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. You have a candidate?
I'm wondering about this Penguins trade with the Rangers to acquire the 12th pick. So they're going to have back-to-back picks. Is that a good move for the Penguins? And I've seen some people say yes, some people say no. Consensus on if it's the right thing or not is the biggest loser.
I mean, I love having the 12th pick this year. Now they have the 11th and 12th picks. You know, it stands to reason that you choose a guy this year instead of next year. He's going to get to the NHL sooner. Now, maybe next year's draft is deeper. I don't know. How can anybody know that now? I think it's pretty cool to have the 11th and 12th picks in the draft, though.
It is going to be nice to have back-to-back, especially if they want to parlay that to try to move up. Like, can you trade both picks for a top five pick? I just like to think that next year's draft, because, and I realize that it's a lottery, but my focus is just so singularly set on them trying to get McKenna.
Yeah.
Because that, to me, is the quickest way to change this entire thing.
What's cooking? Brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. Let's hear some more Aaron Rodgers, shall we, Limits?
Let's do it. So this is what Aaron had to say on what he talked to Mike Tomlin about, ultimately, before signing.
How important was it to be signed with the Steelers before mandatory minicamp to get some face time? Like, was that a thought whenever it was coming into the timing of when you would join a team from the beginning, or kind of how did we get to that point?
I had conversations with Mike T every single week, and it was really through those conversations that this became a reality. So, you know, I think most people who come to the Steelers talk about one of the reasons being Mike T. And I can say, you know, that was right at the top. Just the conversation that we had felt like you're talking to an old friend, honestly. So I really appreciate those conversations throughout it. I really love Arthur. I want to send my love to him. I obviously did it personally, but to the passing of his father last couple of days was, you know, sudden and very sad. So Arthur's a great man, and really enjoyed conversations with him during the process and out there at minicamp. But it's been really good. The guys were great. They welcomed me. Great. It's fun in the quarterback room. We already got a great group chat that's going good. And Mason, Skyler, and Will have all been great. So it's been really fun. I had a really really nice 3 days on the field and then 4 days before that with those guys.
How about the group chat with the quarterbacks?
I like that. Mason, Skyler, and Will. Sounds like the old show. What was it? Marshall, Will, and Holly on a routine expedition. What was that show? Limits.
Don't ask me. It was before my time.
Oh, come on. Somebody help me on the text line.
Supposedly, I'm not allowed to make a comment about Terry Bradshaw since I never saw him play, so I'm never going to make a comment about this show that I never saw.
Hold on. Now I need to not move on.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Marshall, Will, and Holly on a routine expedition was what show? Land of the Lost. That's what it was. The Land of the Lost. Oh, you'll never know that show. I'm glad it's good so far. You know? I'm glad there's a good, it sounds like a good vibe.
Yeah.
I don't know what it adds up to in the end, but he seems very happy to be here. Likes the coaches, likes his teammates. You know, it reminds me a little bit of when Erik Karlsson came and everything's good and then the games start. But who's to say it'll go poorly?
Do you think that Aaron at any point, well, maybe not at any point, but just in general is going to treat this somewhat as like a farewell tour? Because doesn't it kind of sound that way, the way that he's framing it up to be like, this is it for me, this is probably my last year?
Yeah, why don't you play the people that clip, which was the clip that's getting the most notoriety from Aaron Rodgers today on whether or not this will be his final rodeo.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is it. You know, that's why we just did a one-year deal. Steelers didn't need to, you know, put any extra years on that or anything. So, you know, this was really about finishing with a lot of love and fun and peace for the career that I've had. I mean, I played 20 freaking years. You know, like, it's been a long run, and I've enjoyed it. And what better place to finish than in one of the cornerstone franchises of the NFL with Mike Tomlin and a great group of leadership and great guys in the city that, you know, expects you to win.
Peace, love, and happiness. I got a text from a former host here, friend of mine, who said, peace, love, and happiness. He's going to be playing barefoot by week 4.
Oh, I like that. Rodgers on the McAfee show there. I mean, he always, He always knows how to spice it up. He was on for a full hour with them.
You know what the best Peace, Love, and Little Donuts was or is? Does the place still exist, Limits?
Yeah, I think so.
There used to be one on 51.
There is one on 51.
Well, it's not there anymore.
Really?
Yes.
The one by St. E's?
I thought so, yeah. Is it still there?
I thought it was still
there. It was up there on the
left. Might be gone.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I thought it was there.
There was a little taco place next door?
Yeah.
Is that place still there? You live out there. I don't.
Yeah, I do. That's like right by me.
The best was the Fruity Pebble miniature
donut.
Oh,
Fruity Pebble.
That thing was incorrigible, wasn't it?
Yes. I always liked the Oreo donuts.
Oh, my God.
Those were good.
And they'd come hot out of the greaser. Remember that, Limits?
Did they change it to Duck Donuts?
What?
There's a place called Duck Donuts.
After Duck Hodges? Can we hear Bob Walk's turkey call for that? Maybe this should be their theme song for their commercial.
Could you imagine how well that would be?
Wait, let's do the commercial here. Come visit Duck Donuts where you get your little Fruity Pebble donut. Would it work though? That would have to be turkey donuts. Right?
I think they'd be confused as to what the gobbling is all about.
Yeah. I don't think so, though.
No?
A bird is a bird, right? Limits?
There's a place called Duck, North Carolina. Did you know that?
No. Sunny today with a high of Greg Lloyd, 95. Never too hot for Mulsey to golf. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Surprisingly, Bob Walk said that that particular turkey call didn't work for him and his son that weekend. They didn't get any turkeys.
They caught no turkey.
Yeah. You want to leave with that, Limits, and I'll go practice my golf game and see you tomorrow. I don't know if Bob's going to be here. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. We'll find out in the morning.
All right, Joe. See you tomorrow.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.